that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
We know we belong to the land, and the land we belong to is grand.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Fields, Farms, and Fantasies is the title of the exhibit that opens today at the Orland Arts Center. And on today's program, I'll be talking with two of the artists who are showing their visions of North State rural locales. My frequent co-host on Weekend Showcase, Dolores Mitchell, is showing her colorful oil paintings of rural vistas, and her daughter, Anne Mitchell, is displaying her unique digital photographs, which also highlight rural scenes from the North State. We'll also listen to some music from the new show that was just on Broadway a couple of years ago. And now, it's currently making its North State debut at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. The music is called Big Fish. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tomorrow night at Reading's Cascade Theater, Grammy-winning musician Johnny Lang. This singer-songwriter is known for both his unusual voice and his guitar solos. Experience Johnny Lang's music starting at 7:30. Sunday, in honor of Veterans Day, the State Theater for the Arts in Red Bluff hosts Letters Aloud from the Front. Hear real-life accounts from the first days of boot camp to the grim realities of the front line. Live musical accompaniment and a dynamic slideshow will give you perspective on serving and sacrifice. This tribute to servicemen and women has only one performance, day after tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Opening at the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit Fields, Farms, and Fantasies, featuring works by painter Dolores Mitchell, ceramist Margaret Allen, and art photographer Ann Mitchell. Tom talks with two of the artists right after this calendar. In Chico this weekend, California Regional Theater ends its run of Guys and Dolls. This delightful musical comedy plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with 2 o'clock matinees tomorrow and Sunday. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll when Reefer Madness, the musical, opens Thursday in Wismer Theater at Chico State's Performing Arts Center. This over-the-top musical satire, based on the 1936 anti-marijuana propaganda film, starts its run next Thursday night at 7:30. Also opening Thursday in Chico at the Blue Room Theater, Twilight Zone Live. Enter the world of shadow and substance with the return of this late-night tradition. For your approval, the episode is The Obsolete Man, and the late-night showtime is 10:30. Coming to Sierra Nevada's Big Room this Sunday, Jeff Daniels with the Ben Daniels Band. Well-known actor Jeff Daniels sings Americana, jazz, blues, and rock, backed by his son's band. That's day after tomorrow, starting at 7:30. For an experience that's richer, funnier, and bigger than life itself, see the musical Big Fish at Paradise's Theater on the Ridge. Edward Bloom always has a tall, mythical tale to tell while his son lives in humdrum reality. The show, on Broadway just 2 years ago, opens in Paradise tonight at 7:30 and also plays tomorrow night. You can hear a Rodgers and Hammerstein classic in Yuba City at the Acting Company. South Pacific in Concert brings you a talented cast of singers backed by a live orchestra. Enjoy an enchanted evening tonight or tomorrow starting at 8 o'clock. The final performance is an enchanted afternoon, Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Vincent van Gogh explained his art like this: I dream my paintings and I paint my dreams.
A mother-daughter art team who are going to be part of an exhibition at the Orland Art Center. And the name of the exhibition is Fields, Farms, and Fantasies. And my guests are Dolores Mitchell and her daughter Anne Mitchell.
And don't forget the third person, Margaret Allen.
So those are the three people who will be showing pieces, and they're actually all different media. Dolores, all your pieces are paintings, right?
Yes, oil paintings.
And Anne, what are your pieces?
They're inkjet prints made on a handmade Nepalese paper. So they have almost a quality of drawing and photography merged in between there. They started as digital photographs of landscapes around Chico, and then I turned them monochromatic, so it's black and white.
Why did you choose that kind of paper, which is a very special kind of paper to print on?
You know, one of the issues with digital photography is there's this kind of non-unique quality to it, and especially when you're thinking about making a print, even an art print, one way that photographers have increased the perceived value is by doing a limited edition, where they'll only make X number of prints of an image. And another way to do it is if you're printing on handmade paper, where each print is going to be completely unique because the ink's going to go down in a different way on the paper. So I wanted to create something that had a unique quality to it.
I actually think photography has always been that way, even before digital photography, because, you know, like Ansel Adams, he always said that more than half his artistic work was done in the dark room, actually creating those prints, not just snapping them with his camera. So I think the whole creation of the print from the photo original is key, whether it's digital or chemical.
When you were looking at a traditional film-based and chemistry-based dark room, then each print was a handmade experience, and there'd be some variations in there. But with digital printing, there's some wonderful pluses about it, but the negative is that each print is exactly the same as the last, you know, once you know what you're doing. I liked the idea of creating something that was a more unique experience and also had a random quality, so you couldn't control everything.
There's some kind of texture or grooves in the paper, I understand, so that the way the ink lays on the paper is affected by the texture of the paper, right?
You know, when you're classifying paper, one way you classify it is by its weight. And, you know, with this paper, it's really interesting because in the same piece of paper, you have areas that are super thin, and then you have areas that are super thick. It makes for a beautiful print. The downside was that I actually destroyed my print head.
Oh, no.
When I got done, I, you know, experimented on a lot of papers, and over a several-month period ended up unfortunately, a print head that didn't quite survive.
Well, Dolores, let's talk about the overall theme of this whole show. It's called Fields, Farms, and Fantasies. What is the gist of this overall show?
Well, I can't take credit for the title. Ray Turnbull, who is the co-director with her husband George of the Orland Arts Center, is a poet. And having looked at her work, she devised the title.
The subject matter, it is the fields and farms around this area? What areas does it cover?
I have a large section on rice fields of Richvale, but also I've become entranced by the Sacramento River. I always get a thrill when I go over that bridge to Hamilton City, and wow, there's the panoramic view of the river. Also, I love the orchards in that area. So my area includes Capay and Hamilton City and Orland.
How about you, Anne? What geographical areas do your photographs cover?
The images in the show cover the fields that kind of run south and to the west of Chico. So I think Durham and, you know, going down towards, is it Richvale? Down towards there.
So, Anne, I know you live now in Burbank and teach at Long Beach City College, but you grew up here with your parents. Did you develop a love of the scenic landscape as you were growing up?
I hate to say it, but no. I was. We moved here when I was just finishing junior high, and as a typical teenager, I had no interest in the fields. I, you know, had other typical teenage interests, and I think it was more a couple decades later coming back. And, you know, really realizing how beautiful everything was. And then now, especially because I live in such an urban area, it's really wonderful to go and just to be out where there's lots of space and nobody. It's part of growing up, but then also part of it's a nice contrast to, you know, what my experience is on my day-to-day life.
Well, I've looked at some of your photos that you're going to be displaying. And I'm particularly intrigued by one. It has a kind of surreal dimension to it. I think you compared it to Magritte. What's the name of that photo?
That's the color one.
Yeah.
So that one is called Swimming the Infinite, and that is from a different series called Meditative Spaces Found While Traversing the Razor's Edge.
That is one of the pieces that's going to be on display as part of the show, right?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was or if that was just in connection with a talk that my mom was giving. But, so it's from a series with constructed images, and it does have kind of a surrealist quality to it.
Well, since the title of the show is Fields, Farms, and Fantasies, I'd like to talk about that third part. I mean, I think the Magritte-like surrealism certainly plays into that fantasies part. I've understand from Dolores that she is actually moving into a phase where she's not just recording the landscape, she's going into an extra dimension through her art. So Dolores, talk about how you're no longer just reporting the environment, you're perhaps enhancing the environment.
Well, I don't know if I ever was just recording the environment. For one thing, I don't know if I would be able to. I really have to get to know a location well to get an emotional attachment to it. And then at that point, I can move into a lot more self-expression. I do love portions of this North State. I like the fact that they're small farms, that they're individualized. It's not like the big industrial farms. And I've developed a great affection for these. I'm now emphasizing color a lot more than I used to. I don't care what the time of day is because I can make it any time that I want it to be. People have noticed there's a lot of clouds in my paintings. Well, I grew up in Chicago. There's always a lot of clouds. So if the clouds are not there, I paint them in.
So, Anne, I want to talk more about that one image. Most of your images are going to be black and white that they're displaying. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. The majority of them are black and white landscape images on the handmade paper. And then there's one piece from a different body of work, and that is of a young woman swimming kind of in a pool with like a house, you know, up on a grassy mound.
Right, and the colors are so vivid that gets into that kind of surreal. I really feel a sense of heightened reality with that. That house that's in the center, in the distance, that seems to be ghostly somehow. I can almost see through the house a little bit. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. It's elements from the scene were actually shot in Chico. The house is one of my favorite houses, and I think my mom has taken photographs of it as well. And then the water was from 5 miles, or maybe 1 mile. Because I've been a photographer so long, I came out of the film tradition. So quite a long time ago, because I teach, I started shooting digital just to get an understanding of digital color.
Right.
At the time, I really didn't like it in comparison to color you get on film. And I wanted to see if there was a way for me to actually, you know, change my aesthetic or find an aesthetic that I wanted to use. The image that you're looking at and that body of work really came out of maybe about 4 years of just shooting and getting to understand color, finding that saturation point where it's not oversaturated, but it has this really rich, almost dreamlike quality.
Right. It has a very strong dreamlike feel to it. You know, another thing about it that impressed me or that came to mind when I looked at it, with the composition and the elements of the young woman swimming toward the house in the background, it reminded me of Andrew Wyeth's Christina's World. Did that occur to you at all when you were composing that or making that picture?
I wasn't thinking of that. I mean, that's a wonderful painting, and I'm appreciative of the reference. I'm trying to remember how that started. That image really started with the idea of the house and then the idea of water. And so kind of pairing those two things together, you know, this idea of something in the foreground moving into something that's happening, you know, back in space. And so, that's quite a bit of what's happening in that Andrew Wyeth.
Yeah, so did you have your subject, like, swim in a certain direction so that it all lined up the way you wanted?
No, the way that that these pieces are put together is I tend to shoot things that I'm drawn to and then later on find relationships between them. And so I have like a very large, basically stock photography image library where, you know, so I wanted somebody swimming. So I just pull up all these different people that I have swimming and, you know, start looking for one that will fit, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish.
Well, let's talk about some of your other photographs. The black and white ones are not framed. They're just hung like tapestries on the wall. Tell me how that came about, that idea of displaying the black and white images.
The series was originally created for a show that I was given here in Los Angeles. There was an experimental gallery. Maybe once a year they would do this, where they would take a month and have 31-person shows. So you had one day that you could do anything you wanted in the gallery. And what was really nice about it was it just kind of got rid of any issues of, like, reasonableness or how do I worry about selling this. It's kind of frustrating to put photographs behind glass when they are such wonderful things in person, you know, to hold. And so I decided that I was going to do that show with just the work on the wall, and that's how I've shown it ever since.
Do you think for the audience it's a more organic experience to see these hanging like tapestries rather than all framed and formal?
Yeah, they really can, because they can go right up into it. There's not that pane of glass with reflections in between them. I just think they look so beautiful, and they kind of really go beyond just this framed photograph.
Well, describe your experience when you look at these black and white unframed photos on this textured kind of paper, hanging as if they're a tapestry.
You know, I think they have a lot of mood and emotion. And what's kind of fun about it is then as you come closer, you have the experience of the paper. But when you're further away, they just have a very dimensional quality, and probably it's because it's just hanging there on the wall.
Well, Dolores, let's talk about the venue that all of this is at. It's the Orland Arts Center.
Oh, it's a superb resource. It's a building from 1913, beautifully detailed. When you go inside, you see moldings around the walls and pillars. It's an old Masonic building, and they used to build them really in beautiful ways in the 1910s and 20s. Mm-hmm. George and Ray Turnbull have virtually restored this building and created a wonderful art center where there are exhibits and classes and lectures and music. It's a wonderful resource for the community.
We'll talk about how this show, with the subject matter of the show, is a great fit for this rural community there in Orland.
Well, as people drive from Chico, and I have to say, it's sometimes quite a chore getting people to drive from Chico, but what a wonderful experience at this time of year. There's gorgeous color everywhere you look. You drive past orchards, you see beautiful barns. You go across the bridge into Hamilton City, you cross the Sacramento River, and Orland is just right in the middle of agricultural communities.
So you're already inspired by the natural setting before you even see the paintings and photos and ceramic work, right?
You absolutely are.
We'll talk about how the three portions of this, by you, by Anne, and then the ceramics by Margaret Allen. How does this all fit together into one show, in your opinion?
I think it fits together great. I have framed paintings on the wall. Probably I'm the most conservative of the three. And Anne has photographic tapestries. Yes, they're hanging on the wall, but they have movement to them. And then Margaret Allen, you know, Anne and I are both vying over to which parts are we going to buy?
The photos I saw of her ceramic pieces, they surprised me because they're kind of whimsical, almost surreal cartoonist versions of tractors and tools. Talk about how her ceramics are maybe different from anybody else's ceramics.
Well, she's able to take risks that I've never seen anyone take. So the idea that you could make a complete set of heavy-duty tools and a toolbox out of ceramics and really trick the eye into thinking you're looking at metal, you're looking at iron. Mm-hmm. She's got great big nails and screws. Mm-hmm. It looks like you'd have to be Gulliver in order to use them.
I was impressed by the tractor.
Well, one thing about Margaret Allen, and she's been a friend for years, is that when she becomes enthusiastic about something, there are no holds barred. She discovered a tractor museum. It's about half an hour from Chico, and she absolutely fell in love with tractors, so she's doing a whole series of tractors.
So if people not only want to see all your wonderful art pieces from the three of you, if they want to also talk to you and discuss the art, we're having a reception. That's this afternoon. So after this program, you could go right over to the Orland Arts Center and talk to all three artists till 7 o'clock. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming into Weekend Showcase and talking about the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Last night, Theater on the Ridge in Paradise opened its big final production of its 40th anniversary season. Big Fish, the musical, adapted from the 2003 Tim Burton film and from the original book on which that film was based. It's the story of Edward Bloom, who spends his life constantly recounting tall tales and wild stories about his outrageous adventures. If you've seen the film, you'll remember the scene at a circus when Edward and Sandra, the love of Edward's life, see each other for the first time, and for them, the world freezes and time stops. Here's that scene from the original Broadway cast album of Big Fish, the musical.
time stops when suddenly you see her. Time stops and what you thought you knew changes, and life beyond this moment is better, bigger. Time stops, but still your heart is beating. Time stops, though you don't take a breath. She's there, and all you've ever wanted is nearer, clearer. Fantasy is real. I knew this moment was expected, but this good.
That boy is staring and I feel a chill. I don't know why that boy is staring and the world is still not tumbling.
The hero of your story, if you can.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio, and I'm Tom Kinney.
Now, the best part of an adventure is the people you meet. What if I said I met a witch when I was very young? What if I said she showed me how I die? Powerless in the face of it, terrified in the wood. That was where my life was changed for good. All my life of story, son, and everyone is true. So believe me as I'm telling you, to be the hero of your story while you may. Be the guy who gets the girl and saves the day. You don't need a book of Greece to teach you how to stay alive. Be the hero of each story you derive. Then forever you're the hero who'll survive. Every tale that you invent becomes a life that you make real, where each character you meet becomes your friend. You don't need to be a novelist to make believe what's waiting round the bend.